go.
Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety console go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 17th of May already. My goodness, where does the time go? Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig, and how is everything out in Nebraska way?
You know, it's really nice. Really nice. This is our nice week of the year, so we're enjoying it.
You have one more week till you can have snow, right? Or ice?
Well, our last possible frost date is May 31st. Now, looking ahead at the forecast and everything, we're going to get down into the mid-30s, 35, 36 for a couple of nights. But after that, I think we got pretty smooth sailing. Now, you can never say never, because around here, it can creep up and bite you in the butt. But you know, right now, next couple of days, our highs are going to be in the low to mid-80s, and lows at night are going to be down around 50. It's pretty nice.
Wow. And we're very, very slowly here in South Florida starting to get the humidity back. Not quite the summer humidity yet, but it's, you can feel it's coming.
What we need is rain. That's what we need the most. Well, I'll tell you what, if you could box some up and ship it up here, we'll take it. I mean, we keep having grass fires and things, you know, out here in the Sand Hills region of Nebraska. And what we need is rain, not only to knock down the fire danger, but also to water all the pastures so the grass grows, so the cows can eat, you know, that kind of thing. So agriculture.
Okay. Well, pretty soon we will be having probably rain. You know, it's our rainy season. We just entered it. And here in South Florida in the summer, it could be beautiful, sunny all day long. And for maybe 5 minutes on one street, all hell will break loose of rain. It's the strangest type of rain I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what, every place you go, They've got a weather system that is reasonably unique.
Yes.
I mean, we've got unique weather. You've got unique weather. Just about everywhere you go. So
yeah, to one degree or another. Sure.
Yeah. Let's tell folks what we got coming up on Friday before I tell them what we got coming up tonight.
Okay. Well, Friday, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about Ukraine because some new things have happened over there. And also, we are going for most of the show to talk about the congressional hearings into the UFOs.
You know, I watched some of those hearings today. Actually, I watched a lot of those hearings today, and that's time out of my life I'll never get back. But we're going to talk about that stuff, not only what went on at the hearings today, but we're going to expand a little bit beyond that. It's really a show that Diane and I have been dying to do.
Yes. Because, well, everybody knows we're both space geeks, but we both have a little interesting perspective on the UFOs.
Yeah, so we're going to give you all of that coming up on Friday. Now, tonight, Diane, you're covering examining the abortion issue.
Yes.
And you go pretty in-depth on that.
Yes, both from the personal angle of my opinions and also the constitutionality of Roe v. Wade, which should have never been given to the federal government. It always belonged at the state's level.
I'm talking about Roe v. Wade, the bottom line.
Right.
So we'll get into all of that coming up here in a little bit, but we've got a couple of people in the quick hitters tonight that we need to talk about a little bit. Let's start with your governor, Ron DeSantis. There, you know, the whole Disney thing is still going on down there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, this whole, you know, pulling Disney's special designation and all of that. One of the big questions, and we brought it up on this show, right before he actually pulled that designation, you and I were talking about this. What happens to that district down there? What's it called? The Reedy Creek Improvement District.
Yes. Technically, it would go back to the area around Orlando and Kissimmee, whatever, and the taxpayers would be responsible for Disney's over $1 billion debt. However, it was announced yesterday that DeSantis will more than likely have the state of Florida assume control of Disney's Reedy Creek Improvement District because he doesn't think it's fair that taxpayers have to pay Disney's bills. He's going to make damn sure that Disney pays their own bills and pays their taxes, which is quite unique because, you know, for years, the Democrats never wanted big business to have special special privileges away
right.
from regular businesses and we the people. And here it is, DeSantis is doing just that, and the Democrats are raising holy hell over it.
Well, that special tax district, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you know better, but I think it went into effect back in 1967.
That's about the time they started
right.
Doing all the building of Disney. But it was ridiculous to give a company rights to their own government. I don't know who the governor was back then. That was before Jeb Bush.
Well before.
I'm not sure who was the governor back then, but that should have never been allowed to begin with.
Well, you know, part of the deal there was Disney comes in and says, we're going to build here. We're going to make a giant theme park. And of course, you know, they already had California, you know, at that
right.
point. So everybody knew what Disney was capable of. And they also knew it was going to be a huge draw for tourism. So,
yes,
you know, Disney said, We want our own district, our own taxing authority. We want to be our own government. And in return, we will bring you billions of people, you know, and people
and
come, they'll
that.
Spend their money and everything. And, you know, it all kind of made sense because Disney was this mega corporation, still is.
Yeah. And we needed that because what a lot of people don't realize is Florida depends on tourism. We do not have heavy industry here. Yes, we have corporations, IBM, this and that, but we don't have big industry down here where, you know, those get very heavily taxed and whatever. That's why our air is so good. You know, we have great air quality just about all year long, except for if there's a fire in the Everglades.
Well,
you know,
sure.
Some of the nonsense. But we survive on tourism and agriculture to some degree. Remember, the oranges, most of the orange
oh, yeah.
juice people drink are from here. So Disney is critical to Florida. But if you want to exist with the exemptions you get, you don't turn your company political.
Well, that's just the thing. And Disney did exactly that. And they thought, well, we're too big to mess with. Well, guess what?
Now,
you didn't grow up down there, so you know the whole.
Well, no, I was pretty young when I came here, but
in the '60s, in the mid '60s, you know. And
no, I was a kid. No,
yeah, before Disney built in Florida, you know, down there around Orlando, Florida was it was a tourist destination, but it was more of a playground for adults. You know, people come down, they go to the beach, you know, college kids that come down, they go to the beach. But when Disney moved in, all of a sudden it was a family tourist destination, and it wasn't, you know, a small thing. It wasn't just a little thing. It was a huge thing that brought in billions and billions and billions of tourist dollars every single year. But like you said, when you've got the golden goose, you don't go and stomp on it the way Disney did with theirs.
No, you don't. I remember when Disney first opened their preview center. My parents, they made me a whole big trip up it. We're going to go see what the Disney preview center looks like. And my brother and I were kids, and we just loved it. And we just all had a feeling that it was going to be a good thing for Florida, and it has been up until this woke crap invaded them.
Well, you know, I've never been to a Disney park ever. I have no idea what it's all about other than what I see.
Amazing.
You know, and hear from people like you. And you know, I've got a brother that lives out in California in the Santa Barbara area, and he loves Disney. He loves it. He loves going to Disney.
Well, you can't compare California Disney to Disney World. It's like minuscule in scope compared to Disney World.
Right, but you know what I'm saying is he loves it. He loves hanging out there. He loves going there. You know, and Peter just thinks it's the coolest place in the world. And I'm sure it's a great place to go have some fun. And I don't care whether you go to Disneyland or Disney World or, you know, whatever the case might be. It's a family destination. But, you know, Disney, a lot of people think Disney went woke recently, but I can tell you they did not. And the first time I really saw it with Disney, not so much from a theme park standpoint, but when Disney did the movie Happy Feet, that was all about global warming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But they covered that in such a way that people really weren't looking for that type of thing then. It wasn't overt. It was cute little penguins. And it wasn't in your face. So you kind of pushed it aside. It started with the gay days. Why is this one group singled out for special treatment? It had nothing to do with people disliking gays or anything like that. It really down here had to do, why are they getting special treatment? Why can't we go into the parks on gay days? Why can't, you know, Floridians do this, that, the people that come to visit. Why is it set aside special? And that's what basically started the whole thing.
Right. Well, you know, this is going to be interesting because, you know, the tax situation down there would have been a huge nut to chew for the people that live down there. So it's great that DeSantis is stepping up and saying, you know what, we're going to have the state of Florida assume control of that the people don't get their taxes jacked up to bejesus. That's a great thing. But that's not the only thing that DeSantis is in the news for right now.
No, he is wonderful. In fact, there's musings going around that the Republican hierarchy, use your air quotes there, folks, they are looking towards Ron DeSantis as one of the new leaders of the Republican Party.
And they should.
as they should. But the thing that I really am proud of him for, he's the first one to do it. He has signed a bill here in Florida making it illegal to protest at people's homes. And this all has to do with the anti-abortion crowd, the people protesting at the Supreme Court justices' homes, the ones who obviously are going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. He has made that a punishable offense now.
Well, and you know what? It's a great thing that he's doing that, not only because of the people that, you know, you bring up the Supremes, and you know, that's one thing, but you know, those people that get protested that way, they have neighbors, and their neighbors have nothing to do with the with what the protests are about. And can you imagine having your whole neighborhood invaded by these louts that just want to stand out there and scream and yell and run around? I mean, this is good for not only, you know, to protect the people, but to protect the neighbors.
Yes. Well, his exact words were sending unruly mobs to private residences, like we have seen with the angry crowds in front of the homes of Supreme Court justices, is inappropriate. This bill will provide protection to those living in residential communities, and I am glad to sign it into law.
Well,
first one. Other states, I'm sure, are going to hop on it now.
Well, and they should. I guarantee you, part of what he's looking at in doing this is, you know, the Summer of Love a couple of years ago, when angry mobs started burning down buildings and businesses and doing all that kind of stuff. You want to keep that out of people's neighborhoods.
Well, you know what? If laws like this had been in effect back when BLM started their crap, now we did not have hardly any of it here in Florida. I honestly cannot remember any major incidents down here. But for cities that saw BLM destroying their cities, if laws like this were in effect, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in now.
So Ron DeSantis,
arrest these idiots.
Well, yeah. And this is going to make that possible, which is why I think other states are going to get on board and look into passing the same sort of legislation. And folks, you know, if you know your state is hesitant about something like that, you know, just have your legislators call up Ron DeSantis down there in Florida and say, okay, so how'd you do it? What's the wording? How do we go about this? And he'll share.
Yeah, I have my fingers crossed here always in the background, Trump DeSantis.
it could very well happen. Now, in other news tonight, Elon Musk has put some conditions on the purchase of Twitter, and this has to do with the FCC and the fake accounts and the spam bots and all that.
Right. And, you know, FCC didn't give a damn about what Facebook is doing. They didn't care what Twitter was doing until Elon Musk, you know, made his bid for it. They only cared when someone who wants to uphold freedom of speech cared enough to say, whoa, we've had enough. And Elon Musk has proven himself time and time again to really be something special that we need to take advantage of. I mean, in the Republican Party, today he actually formally announced, he will be voting Republican.
Yeah, he's still registered as an independent, but he said, you know, as an independent, he can't ever remember ever voting for a Republican. But now he's going to vote Republican.
Straight. Yep. So there's a lot of, you know, things going on here with that.
Well, and one of the things
that's going to change a lot of people's minds. The fact that a man of this caliber is a person who would vote, you know, independent, basically, he'd vote Democratic, suddenly, whoa, he's going to the other side?
Yeah, well, it makes a big difference.
He's come out with quite a few good things, including about inflation, and remember, he had the guts to leave California with his big company, Tesla.
Yeah, moved it over to Texas. You know, and that's a good thing. Now, one of the things that Musk is really harping on right now, and rightly so, I might add, is the fact that Twitter has so many spam accounts and fake accounts, and what he's doing is really pissing off the Twitter gods, because he's holding them accountable, and he says he wants full transparency on all of the fake accounts and spam accounts before he closes the deal. Now, if Twitter doesn't come through to his liking on that thing, maybe the deal falls through, maybe it doesn't. But let's say it falls through. Let's say he decides, well, you're not being on the up and up here, so I'm not going to buy it. Well, at that point, Twitter is a useless company as far as monetarily, because if he pulls out, right, Twitter crashes. Their stock value crashes if he leaves.
Right. And the other interesting end of that, let's say the deal goes through. The FCC did whatever it is they have to do. Well, you know what? Then the FCC, to be fair to all parties involved, needs to look into Facebook as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this could open up a whole can of worms. You can't just single out it.
Right. You can't just, selectively enforce against Twitter because someone who wants free speech. You've got to be, the FCC has to be fair and go at these other sites.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Did we lose Diane? Oh, there's the submarines.
No, I'm here.
Okay, we got submarine sound there. You dropped out. Yeah. I don't know what caused that.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. I don't know what caused it either, because I'm just sitting here. I'm not touching anything any buttons.
You know, now, so okay. Elon is literal more power to him, but he also had a little something to say about Joe Biden.
He's not happy with Joe Biden. You know, he says and I'm paraphrasing, the real president is the one who controls the teleprompter.
Well, and that's true. You know, we've been saying
Obama,
that for years.
Folks, in case you have any question about it.
Yeah, that's the puppet master, you know.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, it's even worse than people think, because lately Biden has not even been able to read the teleprompter.
Very true.
You know, and it's getting ridiculous. But yeah, Elon Musk says the real president is the one that controls the teleprompter, because Biden he's just a puppet. He just gets up there and says whatever's in the teleprompter. If you ask Biden to think on his own or speak his own mind, it's just gibberish at this point.
Yeah. And he also went further. I have just more and more respect for Elon Musk every day. He warned that if the U.S. ignores the obvious cause of inflation, we could end up like Venezuela. And he's right.
Well, the recession's coming. We've already had one quarter in the negative. This next quarter doesn't look like it's going to improve at all. Inflation's still on the rise. Gas prices are on the rise. I'll tell you something else that's gonna come down hard, I think, in the next couple of years. I think we're heading for a housing market crash, too.
Well, the housing market seems to be staying pretty well.
There's no way it's going to sustain itself. Yeah, it cannot sustain that.
Very high.
You know, the Fed is raising interest rates. The housing market, house prices are just soaring. right now. People cannot afford to even buy an entry-level house anymore. Mm-hmm. The amount they have to pay in the loan is crushing them. Inflation is making everything everybody buys so much more expensive. It's almost now impossible to afford a mortgage. And God forbid you get stuck having to rent a house. What used to rent, let's just pick, even numbers. What used to rent for $1,000 a month is now renting at around $1,700 to $1,800 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. The prices are going through the roof. It's a seller's market because they're setting their prices very high. And people are, though, purchasing them.
They are for now.
For now. But an interesting thing is happening here in South Florida, and we are very, very happy. The New Yorkers, the Northeasterners, the liberals that all rushed down here during COVID, to escape all the regulations right. in New York. Well, they found out just how much it costs to live down here. And they are now hightailing it up to the Carolinas.
Well, and
so there's a good thing in a way. We're getting rid of a lot of the liberal trash that came down here. Not all of it, but, a chunk of it. And that makes us here all very happy.
Well, but it's not making the Carolinas very happy.
No. But things are expensive. They're expensive all over the country. I mean, the other day, we had total sticker shock. We went to fill up my husband's car. $113 to wow. fill up his tank.
Well, I had
gas down here is over for high test. It's over $5 a gallon.
Yeah, that's nuts. Now I had to fill up, I didn't fill up, but I put some gas in my vehicle today. I had to run some errands, and I thought, I'm getting down towards half a tank. I don't want to go any further because, I don't want to have to go to the bank before, and take out a loan before I go to the gas station. So, I went and filled, almost filled up, but it was $4.20. And that's the low test.
Yeah, that's still high. Remember when President Trump got it down to $1 and, $1 and something?
Yeah, it's like $1.68, $1.70.
Yeah, but everybody was more concerned about mean tweets than really doing well in the economy. So you know what? This has come back to bite them, and rightly so. And maybe they'll remember the way things were under President Trump. And those sitting on the fence vacillating, maybe they'll come over to our side.
We can only hope. November's coming. It's going to be here faster than people think. And then from there, it's full steam ahead towards 2024. There's a shellacking coming if you're a liberal this November. Yep. And 2024, I don't see any way for the Biden regime, the Obama, Obama term 3 regime to straighten any of this out before 2024. They've dug too deep of a hole.
Well, they're going to try to divert and deflect.
Right.
That's going to be their game changer. If we keep people's, thoughts off the economy, off the gas prices, they might forget. The only way that those Democrats can win in 2024 is through overt voter fraud.
Well, and they know it. So right. be prepared. Folks, we've come to the bottom of the hour. It means we got to take a quick break. Now, half an hour from right now, I'll be talking about Roe v. Wade, the bottom line. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break, Diane's got it with examining the abortion issue. Stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sorey at The Patriot Factor. It is Tuesday night, and welcome to it. We're glad you're along for the ride. If you miss any part of the show tonight, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you can listen to your heart's content. We appreciate the Pod people, and we appreciate Podbean for hosting the podcast for us. They do a fine job.
Yes.
And we're getting more Pod people.
And no submarine noise.
No, I mean, you might hear that if you listen to the podcast, because we're not going to cut that out. That's part of live radio.
True.
But, you know, it's just weird when that happens, and damn Skype. I tell you, we love Podbean, not so much Skype, right?
No.
Okay, so you and I have both taken on the abortion issue. We both arrive at the same destination. We just take different routes to get there. You've gone in depth in examining the abortion issue.
Yes, and let's start with this quote. The idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think, goes way overboard. Joe Biden's words regarding protecting Roe v. Wade and the right to abort a child. Now, before I get into the political aspects regarding the recently leaked opinion draft about the SCOTUS most probably repealing Roe v. Wade, let me say that I, like most people of conscience, am against abortion, with late-term abortion and so-called afterbirth abortion being, in my opinion, paramount to premeditated murder. However, unlike some, I also believe that abortion should be allowed under four instances. Those being if the mother's life is jeopardized, rape, incest, or if the baby being carried is so medically compromised that it has zero chance of either being born alive or surviving after birth. Now here, and while some might be taken aback, I want to state that as one grounded in science fact, not religious dogma, and please know that no malice or disrespect to others' beliefs is intended here, I do not believe that human life begins at conception, but that it begins when what has become the fetus sees its heart starting to beat. And why do I believe this? Because science fact, let alone common sense, proves that without a beating heart, human life is unsustainable. In simple medical terms, after conception, what started out as a mere group of dividing cells goes through many steps, from a zygote to a morula to a blastocyst, while only becoming an embryo 12 days after conception. And the embryo moniker remains through week 6, by then has seen a rudimentary heart having started to beat. And by week 10, the fetal heart will have fully developed and begun pumping oxygenated blood through its now recognizable fetus body form. While by this time, most women know, or at least suspect, that they're pregnant, as certain bodily changes have already begun happening, whether she's willing to accept that as fact or not. And at this point, I must emphatically state that I believe abortion must not ever be used as a means of either birth control nor as a collective population control. And as for the latter, one needs to look at and truly understand the words of Planned Parenthood's infamous founder, Margaret Sanger, a true racist who throughout her life showed disdain for black people. Sanger carried on, not so silently, a crusade against said black people. Craig, in fact, her very thought processes can clearly be seen in her December 10th, 1939 letter to Dr. Clarence J. Gamble, where she stated, quote, "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population."
Yeah, you notice there she didn't say we don't want to exterminate the Negro population. She said we don't want the word to go out that we want, you know, mm-hmm. they wanted to keep that hidden. Now, it's, you know, a lot of what you're saying here, there are going to be some people that are going to disagree with you, but you're not giving right. opinions here. What you're giving is scientific and medical facts here that really should right. not be ignored. So let's get back to that. Let's get back to the stages, the embryonic stages of human development, so people have a better understanding of where you're coming from here.
Okay. Now, at week 10, that's the point. The fetus heart is now continuously beating, and the once what was but a group of cells is now a living human being growing within its mother's body, still parasitic in nature as it has yet to reach viability, meaning it cannot exist and survive on its own. And still it truly is an individual who has a right to his or her life, no matter if the mother now decides she no longer wants or ever wanted the being growing inside her. And it's at this stage in development, the stage where the beating human heart dictates that life has truly begun, where the so-called heartbeat law comes into effect. For to take a human life at this point or beyond, in my opinion, remains murder. And why? Because abortion at this point is surely being used as a last-ditch attempt means of birth control, something that should have been thought of and used before having unprotected sex. And with there being many contraceptive methods available both over-the-counter and by prescription, the old adage of, oops, has no place in today's modern society. No place is a reason to have an abortion, except in the four instances I've previously mentioned. Remember, acts of passion at times do have consequences. Consequences that no innocent baby must be forced to pay with his or her own life. But also know that I personally have no problem with the morning after pill for the simple reason that it must be taken within 72 hours after unprotected sex, which basically equates to pre-embryonic time, a time when no heart is formed, no heart is beating, hence one is not technically aborting life. And along with this, I believe that abortion must never fall into the selective category, meaning if the woman carrying said baby and or her partner doesn't want the gender she is carrying, as in male or female, with the other 60-plus genders that encompass the woke movement being but sheer stupidity and other nonsense, nor should a baby be aborted for treatable conditions like, but not limited to, Down syndrome or spina bifida, for example. Correct? Because these children can and do become valuable members of society, much loved by their families and friends.
You know, where you're heading next with this, because I've had a preview of this, so I kind of know where you're going here. This next little section is something that's kind of close to me, because I'm part of this, okay? Right. There are really, really good alternatives to abortion, right?
Yes. And, you know, for those women who do get pregnant unintentionally and who do not meet the four criteria I previously mentioned, these women should not abort what is their mistake, but put the baby they are carrying up for adoption, as there are many couples who face infertility issues, couples who would gladly adopt to create their much-wanted family, the family human biology itself cannot give them. Now, as for the political aspect of abortion, it is my belief that abortion should never have become a political issue in the first place, let alone a federal issue. It should have stayed a state's issue, if even that. Spawned of the feminist movement of the 1970s, the entire It's My Body, My Choice musings that led to the media-deemed landmark decision by the High Court found in Roe v. Wade that the U.S. Constitution protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restrictions. Yet the problem with said ruling always was and still is today. What about the life of the unborn child? What about its right to choose life instead of being disposed of like yesterday's trash? And while Joe Biden, the man who for decades as a senator was against tax funding for abortion, has raised quite a bit of ire amongst those in his own party by his recently calling the unborn what is to be aborted a child, as the left still wants you to believe that what will be disposed of or have its body parts sold to the highest for-profit bidder is anything but a child. Simply, this is but another instance of where the liberal left gets away with what is now, in my personal opinion, government-sanctioned murder. For once that child's heart has started beating, it must be afforded the same constitutional rights and protections as the women who willingly is taking away said child's right to life, let alone its liberty and happiness. Just because the then Supreme Court justices seem to have misinterpreted the word liberty 50 years ago does not mean that said decision cannot be repealed today. Times change. The mood of the people change. Politics itself changes, while common sense again gets lost in the shuffle of the left's political agenda game playing. Roe v. Wade and its right to abortion became not just the main catalyst for a decline in American culture, values, and institutions, but yet another distraction to pull us away from the founder and framers' true intentions regarding federal constitutional law versus the constitutionality given predominance of states' rights.
Now, and Diane, let me ask you this real quick here, because a lot of people look at this and they say, well, this is all based in 1973. It's really not, though, is it? I mean, doesn't it go back quite a ways further than 1973 if you're looking at the root of the Roe v. Wade thing?
Well, in regards to abortion, upon which in passing Roe v. Wade in 73 saw the High Court citing the 1868 14th Amendment, the very amendment which expanded protections of rights for citizens at the state level, most especially for freed slaves who were being subject to new discriminatory state laws. But it was not intended to cancel out the key 10th Amendment, the amendment stating that, quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Simply, states' rights do in this instant trump federal law. And why? Because abortion remains a social issue and not a matter of federal policy. And yet with the High Court's 73 decision, that is exactly what happened in their basically overruling states' rights by granting federal protection to those women who choose to abort the child they carry. And this decision alone allows the baby-killing operation known as Planned Parenthood to perform 354,874 abortions in 1 year alone, while only suggesting to 2,667 women that they place their unwanted child up for adoption as opposed to aborting it. Now, if you don't believe me, I've included Planned Parenthood's 2019 through 2020 annual report. 2021 through 2022 is not out yet, where you can see these and more disturbing facts and figures for yourself. And said litany includes that Planned Parenthood continues to receive both government grants and more than $500 million in taxpayer funding every year, with much of their taxpayer dollars coming through reimbursements for Medicaid services provided. Services which are jointly funded by federal and state taxpayers, meaning monies are garnered from even those of us against abortion. And Craig, also through Biden's reinstating Title X, which President Trump had rescinded, thus allowing federal funds to once again refer women for abortion.
Those numbers are staggering. Those numbers you just went through are absolutely freaking staggering. 354,871 abortions and only 2,667 that they told they should put their children up for adoption. Oh my God.
Yes.
You know, that's just mind-boggling. So right now, because of all this and because of what we're seeing play out right now with the protests and all that, we are at what I call a quintessential crossroads in America. What direction do you think we're going to take here?
Well, basically, the question is, what are the chances of the Supreme Court reversing Roe v. Wade and sending abortion back to the states, especially after the recent memo leak? Well, I think the chances are still good if, and only if, the justices don't bend to Democrat pressure, threats against their person, stage revolts by loony leftist women or men who think that they can give birth, or to media-generated propaganda. For the truth remains that abortion was and always should be an issue left up to each individual state. Remember, in overturning Roe, the justices are not, I repeat, not banning abortion outright, but simply removing it from federal protection, thus allowing each state to decide for themselves whether all abortions will be outlawed, if they will implement the heartbeat law or some variation thereof, or choose or not choose to set a given time frame and or circumstances in which abortion will be allowed. In other words, giving back to the states the right of self-determination that our founders and framers laid down as law in the Constitution. And while so many do hold different views, religiously, personally, and policy-wise, than I do in regards to abortion, and believe that Roe v. Wade is settled law into perpetuity, the fact remains that abortion itself does make a mockery of our Constitution, for nowhere in the Constitution does it say, neither in alluding nor in actual words, that the killing of her unborn child is a woman's right. And what those sitting on the Supreme Court back in 1973 forgot when handing down their politically motivated and ever so misguided decision is the scientific fact that there are two lives involved in abortion, the woman's and her innocent child, a child who has as much right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as she does.
Uh-oh. Hang on, Diane. You've dropped out here again. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead.
Simply, children are indeed our country's future. To take away that future takes away the very essence of who we are now and who we will be as a nation in the foreseeable future. And to that I say, case closed.
You know, I got to go back to those numbers. Those numbers are just staggering. Now, if you ask Planned Parenthood, if you ask the ACLU, if you ask most liberals at large, okay, they would tell you that Planned Parenthood is a women's health clinic.
Yeah. Yeah, they do offer. You know, if you go into the Planned Parenthood annual report, you will see they do offer legitimate services as well.
But how many of those services do they actually provide?
It's in there. It's in that all the links that I have in this article, folks, are fully active. You can go into any of it and you will see exactly for yourself. Yeah, they do a certain amount of, you know, handling of contraceptives, of some female cancers. There are other services, but the abortion one is just the most disgusting.
Well, but I mean, yeah, it's in the brochure. Right. I mean, they have it in their report, but, you know, Planned Parenthood certainly isn't the only place you can get that kind of care. You know, if you've got a certain cancer thing or if you need help or assistance or something with birth control pills or, you know, that kind of, I mean, they're not the only place on the planet that provides those services. So, you know, no, let's face it, they make most of their money. They operate on a schedule of 334,000 plus abortions a year.
Yeah. That's the amazing thing.
Holy crap.
While only talking to 2,667 women about putting their child up for adoption. That's what's more staggering to me than anything. Basically, what they're allowing is 352,871 babies to be disposed of. But, you know, 2,000 is a nice round number. We'll suggest that they live. That, to me, is what it's really all about.
And I wonder, honestly, what criteria it is when they go to those 2,667 women and say, you know, you should put your child up for adoption. I can't believe, knowing everything we know about Planned Parenthood today, I cannot believe that that is their first thing they tell those 2,600 people. I'm guessing maybe 2,600 women went in there and said, can you help me arrange for having my child adopted?
No, a lot of, and if you go into this, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. Most of those women, they go in there to have an abortion, thinking it's what they want. And it suddenly comes out, my boyfriend, my husband pushed me into doing this. I don't think as a Catholic I can do this. I don't know if I can do it. Is there some other way besides killing the baby? That is the bulk of those.
Yes, you know? and that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's the woman who brings it up first. It's not Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Planned Parenthood is an abortion mill that offers a few other things. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Yeah.
But then again, you know, look who their founder was. She wanted to exterminate the, quote, Negro population.
Yeah.
So right then and there should be red flags up.
Well, and you would think, liberals would look at that and go, oh my God, how can we support this? But no. See, they're going to support Planned Parenthood no matter what, which tells you just how hypocritical these liberals really are. You know, there's all eyes right now are on the Supremes because supposedly this final decision is going to come down probably in June or very early July. I mean, that's kind of what it's looking like. Nobody knows.
That's what they're aiming for. Yeah.
And a lot of states around the country are trying to figure out what to do. You know, if this decision goes the way the draft decision is written. I know, for instance, up in South Dakota, okay, they've got an automatic trigger that if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned at the Supreme Court, abortion is automatically banned in the state of South Dakota. Now,
okay,
people can argue with that, you know, the rape, the incest, you know, people can hedge their bets on that, but that trigger law is there. Okay, but Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, right now she's talking about, well, if this gets overturned, we're going to have a special legislative session immediately to deal with the other laws that would be needed to enforce any kind of ban on abortion in that state. And I imagine other states are doing it too. I know my state, Nebraska, Pete Ricketts, a rhino, who's our governor, even he said, if Roe v. Wade is overturned by the Supremes, Nebraska will have a special session and deal with it. We tried to deal with it. We tried to put a trigger law into effect in the last legislative session that ended about a month ago, and it fell 2 votes short. But we'll see what happens with this.
What I really hope is more states follow Florida again.
Yes.
We have basically the heartbeat law, but DeSantis also has written into it there are circumstances.
And I think that's the way it ought to be.
Later.
Yeah.
Especially with the mother's life in jeopardy. Yes.
Yeah. What you mentioned in examining the abortion issue, that's the title that's on your op-ed. And folks, you can get this op-ed at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, you can read it for yourself. You can share the link, send it out to as many people as you can. We hope you do. But what you outline in that section of this op-ed, I agree with 100%.
Yeah, it's you got to put common sense into things. You know, if a woman is violently raped by the worst piece of crap around, you're going to make her carry that child? Give her the morning after pill and be done with it. It's not a child at that point to me. Most women who are violently raped, and we're not talking about these women that are out for money. We're talking regular women who might be violently raped. They're taken to a hospital. They are given the morning after pills.
Right. Right. You know,
it's nothing at that point. What you're doing is you're preventing the life.
Right. And again, up in South Dakota, you know, they're talking about, the morning after pill. They've got a law that up there now that would make it so that a woman would have to make 3 visits. Oh, the horror. 3 visits to the doctor to get a medically induced abortion. Okay, that's not really the morning after pill, but
that's not the morning after pill.
Liberals are going crazy. Liberals are going crazy about that thing too. They're going absolutely out of their minds. You know,
by the time you would have 3 visits, the morning after pill wouldn't work. No, that's strictly for the woman to really think about what she was doing. And 3 visits might give her time to change her mind, either to keep her child or give the child up for adoption.
Exactly. Exactly. Folks, grab Diane's link to this very important op-ed. Go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com, and you can get the link, and please share it everywhere. We're not done with this topic either, Diane. We're at the top of the hour. It means we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm talking about Roe v. Wade, the bottom line. So, folks, you stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Excuse me, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Diane, right before we went back on, I had a pop-up come up on my screen, and it covered the button I had to push.
Oh, dear.
Like, what the?
If Skype issues weren't enough, right?
Well, it's all weird stuff is happening in this office tonight. That thing popped up right before we went to the break, and I don't know, folks, maybe you heard it. I bought a clock, a shelf clock, mantle clock type of thing the other day. And it's been sitting in my office now for about a week. And it chimed. At the top of the hour, it chimed. It has never chimed. And it was loud enough I could hear it even with my headphones on.
Well, when I play this back in the morning, we'll see if I can hear it.
Yeah, right as we're leading up to where I'm saying, hey, it's the top of the hour. Right. All of a sudden, I'm like, what in the hell is that? Oh, man. It's a Tuesday.
It's always something.
It is. It's always something. Folks, we're talking about the abortion situation tonight. We're talking about the Supreme Court situation, that leaked draft from the Supreme Court and everything that goes along with it. And so I decided to take on Roe v. Wade, the bottom line. Now, the argument regarding whether or not Roe v. Wade should be overturned should not be made from a religious standpoint. Religion is a personal choice in this country, not a matter of law. And if you want to keep the government out of your religion, you had better keep your religion out of the government. And with that said, and while I'm on the topic of personal choice, let me address the oft-heard liberal talking point of my body, my choice. When it comes to abortion, while it is an elective procedure, ultimately, except in rare circumstances, as Diane mentioned in her segment just a few minutes ago, it is the woman's choice and the baby's body that we're talking about here. In the overwhelming vast majority of abortions, the woman is making a choice based solely on what she finds convenient for her. While babies can and are placed for adoption all the time, some women just don't want to be inconvenienced for 9 months and would rather kill the soon-to-be-born child in order to maintain their lifestyle than carry the child to term. And by the way, liberals, you lost that argument. You shot yourselves in both feet regarding the My Body, My Choice thing with masks and jabs. Next, I want to address where the vast amount of abortions take place in this country, Planned Parenthood. They bill themselves as a women's health care facility when nothing could be further from the truth. And let me start with this. While in rare cases where the mother's life, not her lifestyle, might be at risk, abortions are not health care. Planned Parenthood was the product of its founder, Margaret Sanger, who was a champion of killing as many black babies as possible. Sanger, while promoting birth control, read abortion, advanced her controversial Negro Project and wrote in her autobiography about speaking to a Ku Klux Klan group and advocating for a eugenics approach to breeding for, and I quote, the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization, unquote. That's right. The woman who founded Planned Parenthood, Diane, the abortion mills liberals defend and champion as health care centers for women, was in fact a racist who sought genocide against black people via abortion. I sure haven't heard a single word from liberals wanting to cancel Planned Parenthood or remove any statue or mention of Margaret Sanger from the public square. Have you?
No, I haven't. But you know what I also haven't heard? Here it is, this stuff about Margaret Sanger. This is well-known stuff. This isn't something that suddenly just came out. And here it is, the liberals and the likes of, you know, BLM liberals, they do nothing about it. Here it is, you have somebody who you have a justification to be mad at. And what do? You go willy-nilly over to Planned Parenthood if you want an abortion or if you want this or if you want that. The very organization that wanted to wipe out an entire population.
Look, you could not.
It makes no sense. It's liberal hypocrisy.
And you can't cut that hypocrisy with a knife. It's that thick.
Yes.
You know, look, so much for the liberal talking points regarding an end to Roe v. Wade or shutting down Planned Parenthood, harming the black community. But liberals are continuing to lose their last marbles over the leaked draft decision from the U.S. Supreme Court regarding Roe v. Wade, and it's reaching a pitchfork and torch level of hysteria. This past week, we saw liberal disruptors protesting outside the homes of our Supreme Court justices, trying to pressure them into changing their vote. That's illegal. It's barred by the rule of law. According to 18 U.S. Code 1507, quote, whenever with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, or in or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, or with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both, Nothing in this section shall interfere with or prevent the exercise by any court of the United States of its power to punish for contempt, unquote. Now, have we seen even one liberal protester arrested? No. No, we have not. And while it should be shocking that we haven't, it's par for the course, as I'm sure the Biden DOJ and his Attorney General, Merrick Garland, are simply too busy investigating parents who attend school board meetings and trying to figure out what catastrophic crimes with which they can charge the QAnon shaman. Now, strolling through the U.S. Capitol while wearing a buffalo hat, Diane, and maybe face paint, or wanting to have a say in your children's education, those, I believe, are the real threats, or that's what liberals tell you, are the real threats to our country.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And, you know, some national school board, in fact, the National School Board Association, made certain demands of Biden and crew regarding just this issue.
Yeah, it's kind of stunning when you realize what they were demanding. They sent a letter, okay? And in that letter, they demanded, not asked, they demanded that Biden, quote, utilize the expertise and resources of the U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Secret Service, and the National Threat Assessment Center to enforce, quote, the Patriot Act in regard to domestic terrorism, unquote, against parents who dared to speak at school board meetings. And then just 3 days later, Merrick Garland fired off a letter to the FBI and U.S. attorneys claiming, quote, a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, school members, teachers, and staff, and demanding that the regime use its power to quash those threats, identify them when they occur, and prosecute them when they're appropriate. Now, what we're seeing now is a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against U.S. Supreme Court justices simply being ignored because it fits the liberal agenda. The leaked draft decision from the SCOTUS, which started the latest liberal meltdown, is a 5-4 ruling, which means that one conservative justice stood with the liberal black robes. But Diane, we've got six supposed conservative justices. Which one crossed the line?
The logical assumption is John Roberts, because he's crossed the line many times. But, Craig, like you and I have had discussions, I personally think it's either Amy Coney Barrett or Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, let's
run. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong, and that it is Roberts, and we see him for the turncoat that he is.
Well,
but I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm going to speculate, though. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about as brief as I can make it. Right. Back in 1991, during his confirmation hearings, Clarence Thomas said that he had not given much thought to whether Roe v. Wade was correctly decided, but a few months later, in the dissenting opinion from Planned Parenthood v. Casey in 1992, he said, quote, the power of a woman to abort her unborn child. Okay, so he at that point became anti Roe v. Wade. Now, Neil Gorsuch.
Right, he's not in question.
Right. Yeah. Neil Gorsuch, during his confirmation hearings regarding Roe v. Wade, said that the Roe decision was quote unquote precedent, but he declined to call it super precedent, which loosely defined means a deeply rooted, repeatedly upheld precedent. He declined at that point whether or not he would strike Roe v. Wade. Now, when questioned by Senator Feinstein, Brett Kavanaugh said, "Senator, I think that is settled as a precedent of the Supreme Court, entitled to the respect under principles of stare decisis. And one of the important things to keep in mind about Roe v. Wade is that it has been reaffirmed many times over the past 45 years, as you know, and most prominently, most importantly, reaffirmed in Planned Parenthood v. Casey in 1982. Now, I need to point out here that just a few years ago, both Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh voted to uphold a Louisiana law that severely restricted access to abortions and would have left that state with only one single abortion clinic. But of those justices who were in the dissenting group, meaning in the majority vote, struck the Louisiana law down. But during her confirmation hearings, Amy Coney Barrett, under questioning, again from Dianne Feinstein, brought up Planned Parenthood v. Casey, in which Justice Scalia joined the dissent, which took the position, and I quote, "We believe that Roe was wrongly decided and that it can and should be overruled, consistent with our traditional approach to stare decisis in constitutional cases." Now, while Coney Barrett also declined to state her position on Roe, she has long held the same judicial ideals as did Justice Scalia. And back in 1991, in his confirmation, I already went through that with Clarence Thomas. So let's get to John Roberts here. Now, John Roberts would rather stand on precedent that's wrong than correct the wrong for the sake of constitutionality. Roberts was the swing vote in that Louisiana law case and voted with the liberals. Roberts is also not above legislating from the bench, as evidenced by his actions regarding Obamacare. So, Diane, my money in this thing is actually on Roberts being the crossover vote in that leaked draft decision. But, as I said, it's speculation.
Right. We don't know which one of us is right, which one of us is wrong. We might be in for a big shock when the decision comes out. The safest bet would be to say Roberts, only because of, you know, his switching in the past. But there's just something that really bothers me that it's not him. But time will tell. But basically, Craig, what's the bottom line in all of this?
Well, I'll tell you, here's where I stand. Decisions at the Supreme Court level should never be made on any justice's personal, religious, or social issue ideology, but on constitutionality alone. In 1973, the High Court legislated from the bench, and I believe that each time Roe v. Wade has been upheld since then has been further legislation from the bench. Clearly, as explained by the 10th Amendment, powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people, and as there is nothing in our founding documents regarding abortion, it should have always been left to the states individually. Overturning Roe v. Wade now would simply put the power of the decisions regarding abortion back into the hands of the people in their respective states via the election of state lawmakers by the people. Constitutionality. What a concept.
And therein lies the problem. We've had, over these past few decades, a great majority of justices who are actually pushing forward a political agenda instead of following the rule of law that is the Constitution.
Yeah, and, you know, call it what you will. I call it legislating from the bench. Yeah, they did it in 73, and I think they've done it ever since. Now, it may not be strictly legislating from the bench, in the times they've upheld it. Okay. But what they've done is they looked at what happened in 73 and they said, well, that's precedent and we're not going to overturn precedent. And to me, that's really, just as bad as legislating from the bench.
Is it written in stone that you cannot overturn precedent if the decision was not decided according to the Constitution? Roe v. Wade was never decided on constitutional fact. It was always advocacy and this kumbaya nonsense that started in the 70s. It wasn't decided by taking apart the Constitution and fitting it in for a very simple reason. Abortion is not in the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, the liberals act like it is. The liberals say, right. Well, it's the woman's right. No, it's the state's right to adjudicate it. It's the state's rights to set the parameters for it.
Right. Our founders and framers gave more rights to the states than it did to the federal government, and they did that for a reason.
Yeah, they did.
You know, yeah. And people forget that.
Well, and it's an important distinction.
Right. And you want to know something, though. There's going to be people, no matter which side the court comes down on, we're going to see trouble.
I believe you're right. Yeah,
we're going to see trouble one way or another. And I'm not saying the trouble will come from our side, but the trouble will come from the women and men on both sides who think there's nothing wrong with killing a baby.
You know, it's just we're seeing it already. And what I fear when this decision comes down, because personally I don't think any of these justices are paying any attention to these goofy protesters.
Okay? I don't think so.
Their minds are made up. You know, this is a 5-4 decision. I think it's going to stay 5-4. I don't think anything's going to change between the draft and the actual ruling when that comes out, maybe in a month and a half, whenever that is. I see the liberals going as crazy as they did over the George Floyd thing. I think they're going to put on a show like you wouldn't believe. I think it's going to get violent. I think,
yep.
And I'll tell you what the targets are going to be. You know, in the George Floyd thing, the targets were any businesses in a blue city, right?
Right.
The targets now are going to be churches in red cities.
Oh, they already started with the protesting at churches.
Well, I mean,
some of them have already turned moderately violent. Nothing's been burned down yet or anything like that, but it will happen.
Yeah, don't be surprised.
Yeah,
people. You know, that's what we're saying.
Don't be surprised. You know, when you come down to it, abortion, except in certain instances, except if you follow the heartbeat law, abortion is really government-sanctioned murder.
There's really no other accurate way to look at it.
No.
I mean,
no, and it's also stupid people that can't go to a drugstore, and then that innocent life has to be terminated because they couldn't go to a drugstore. You know, there's the whole process is ridiculous.
Up in Omaha last week, there was a protest in favor of abortion, and they held the protest on the sidewalk outside of a CVS pharmacy that's loaded with contraceptives at a cheap price.
And also morning after pills.
You know,
yeah, I mean, it makes no sense.
Just insanity when you get right down
to it. But liberals, again, you know, they don't work.
Hello?
Way or no way.
Yeah, we lost you there again. Say that again. I want people to hear that. Say it again, because we lost you there for a sec.
Liberals do not work off of common sense. They work out of anger, hate, and it's our way or no way. You do as we say. Yeah, that's mob rule. And guys, guess what mob rule is? It's the definition of democracy. And part of the problem is liberals forget We are not a democracy. We're a representative republic.
But, you know, let's just play in a couple minutes we got left here. Let's play devil's advocate for a second, okay? Let's say we are a democracy, all right? And which is mob rule. Now, what could possibly be more democratic than letting each individual state and the people in that state make the decision about what to do about abortion? What could possibly be more democratic than leaving it to the people? Because that's what this decision is going to do. It's going to take it away from the federal government. And then in each individual state, if you don't like the way the state has set up the situation, you can vote for other people.
Yeah, but you're forgetting one key thing. The Democrats like to talk a lot about democracy, how America is a Democrat nation, all of that. But it's not democracy that the liberals want. It's socialism.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's, again, the hypocrisy is thick, right?
Yep.
You know, they jump up and down, scream and yell, gnash their teeth and wad up their panties, yelling, democracy, democracy, right? Mm-hmm. You give them democracy and, oh, you can't do that.
Right. They're a very confused group of people because they're the masses. They don't know how to think for themselves, and they don't know right from wrong.
Well,
it's simple things that have caused the problems we face today, but it's also certain people who will not give up power, like Obama. And folks, it's time everybody understand he is the one pulling Biden's strings, and probably Soros is pulling Obama's strings. When people like that won't give up power, we're in big trouble, because we know they're the ones in power, but we're not doing anything about it.
Well, and I folks, you can get my commentary if you go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Okay, Roe v. Wade, the bottom line, that's the title on it. thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Grab the link. Share it everywhere you can. I want to, just in the minute or so we got left, I want to go back to those staggering numbers, Diane, that you had in your op-ed.
Okay.
354,000 plus abortions every year from Planned Parenthood. Now,
well, no. That's in one
total
given year.
Yeah, that was the 2019-2020
one given
numbers.
Year. They did
okay.
Over 300,000.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's not really my point. My point is, how many, because we're talking about liberals here, how many of those abortions did Planned Parenthood perform on men who liberals now tell us can get pregnant?
Well, if they actually claim that they performed any, they're freaking liars, because any man that's pregnant is a trans person. It's a woman pretending to be a man who did not give up her uterus and her ovaries.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But here again, you've got liberal stuff. Well, men can get pregnant, but oddly, I'm not talking about scientific fact. I'm talking about liberals. It's the exact opposite. Okay.
<That's true.
laughs> It is
it's
diametrically opposed. Okay?
Yes.
Liberals tell us men can get pregnant, and yet, oddly enough, not one single man has ever gone to Planned Parenthood and had an abortion. Not one.
Yeah, but now they can go into any bathroom and get Tampax for when they have their periods.
So things are improving for liberal men every day.
I'd like to know how and where they're putting that tape.
Thankfully, at that point, with that comment, we've run out of time. And once again, folks, we have to apologize to you, our good listeners. We have used up all the allotted time tonight, and we never got to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Oh, dear.
We're sorry.
Thank you that we never did.
We're sorry, but Diane, it is time for us to wrap this up.
Yes, it is. See you guys on Friday. Nighty night.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We will catch up with you on Friday. Bye-bye.